Splash Weather Repel Premium Windshield Wash features a 3-in-1 formula that repels rain, sleet, snow, and bugs while leaving a streak-free shine. And its advanced beading technology keeps you seeing safely all year long.
See safely on the road when you apply a little splash.
Pick some up at Walmart today.
Top tech companies like Intel have a secret to their success. They get the best talent, reliable infrastructure, and save on costs by expanding in Ohio, the new Silicon Heartland. Learn how your business can succeed in Ohio. Visit successinohio.com.
Give it to me. Hey, this is Nomad, host and creator of the Career Musician Podcast. Why do they call me Nomad? Well, I traveled the globe, spreading the joy of music one song at a time. And now I bring you wisdom, tried and true knowledge, and life experiences of my colleagues and peers in this crazy business we call music.
In this episode of the Career Musician Podcast with yours truly, we have Ziggy Beats, my dear friend and compatriot in the Kenny Babyface Edmonds Band.
This is the Career Musician Podcast with your host, Nomad.
Originally hailing from the Dominican Republic, Sigfrido Ziggy Diaz is a mastermind as he combines his musical piano keyboard skills with music production, composing, DJing, and as of late, the playback engineer and stage manager for Kenny Babyface Edmonds, right along my side every time we do a show. I love working with Ziggy because he's meticulous, he takes his time, and he gets the job done right every time. Additionally, he's a thinker and he's always thinking about the future, as am I. So in this episode, he shares a different perspective about what the career musician might think about or ponder on a daily basis. One of those things is finances. Let's take it away with Sigfrido Ziggy Diaz. Ziggy Beats.
As we refer to him, Ziggy, the Dominican Diaz, Dominicano in the house.
What's up?
Man, I love Ziggy. We go way back to my Nashville days, to our Nashville days. We met by really happenstance when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, like I said, I moved to LA. Obviously, you came to visit. Now, you've been in Nashville for how long?
Like 18 years.
Wow. Wow.
Been a while. But, that's, you know, cool. I love it. It's different from like New York.
Right.
It's the only thing I don't like, it's a little more laid back and more, but that's cool, you know, because I come from the fast pace.
So yeah, it seems like Nashville has its own renaissance periods. It keeps going through it. Like when I first moved there in 1999, it was blowing up. And then now it's blowing up in a whole new way.
It's like, if you go there now, it's like, oh my God, everything is like restaurants,
real estate,
condos,
like you said.
Real estate.
Yeah. I would say, so honestly, bro, for you staying there, it's really worked out. And in the future, it's going to continue to work out with everything that you're studying.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to discuss here. But before we get into that, so I want to know a little bit about your history, your heritage, and what was life like growing up. And I feel like I should have said this already, but your primary instrument is keyboards.
Keyboards, correct.
But you're multi-talented. And then we met in that production capacity with you, me, and Richie. We had the little production team. But then I brought you on board with the Babyface team via Richie's idea. He's like, you know what? We should call Ziggy and have Ziggy be a backline tech. And then you became the stage manager.
Correct.
And then the playback engineer. So now you wear many hats. So we have a lot of things to talk about. But let's start with, you know, the impetus of music. How did the music bug bite you?
When I was growing up in church, we listened to a lot of, you know, church music, and my father bought me a keyboard, one of those Casio old ones, and I started, you know, messing around with it, and eventually I would hear the songs from church, and then I just play the melody with one finger. My father realized, he's like, oh, he seems like he has like ear to this stuff, and he said, you know what, let me get him in, you know, music school so he can learn theory. So I eventually went to music school in the Bronx and I learned classical, learned sight reading, rhythm, pretty much theory, everything, and eventually chords and all that. So I kind of got a grasp of that. Then from there, I felt more confident, started eventually playing in church, and then started playing with bands. And then from there expanded into like, man, if I could play all this stuff, what about if I could just make this stuff, you know, music? And then I went to school, studied computer science, figured out the computers could like help you with arrangements and kind of giving me understanding of, you know, the computers and what they're capable of doing and all that. And it helped me out, you know, with the jobs I went and applied for, you know, to have a source of income, you know, learning, you know, Excel and all that, database managing, direct marketing and all that.
What year was that around, do you think, or what time period?
That was roughly between the 90s.
Okay. So already in the 90s, you're ahead of the curve because you're learning about data.
Yeah.
And direct marketing.
Direct.
Which are two things that we're going to talk about in a minute here.
Yeah.
So you're planting seeds.
Yeah, it was interesting because I've always been fascinated what computers could do and what they're capable of doing. And in regards to like corporate, and then in regards to the creative side, the music part, what the software is, in that time I was using Cubase, what they were capable of doing in regards to like arrangements and recording, instead of, you know, doing, I never was brought up in the analog era where it was a two inch tape and analog two track and the analog boards and all that. But I went straight into, like, you know, the software using DAW and all that. And that was back then, the Cubase. And then from Cubase, went to Digital Performer because all the DJs in, you know, Long Island, when I moved over there, that's what they were doing. So, like, every stage and every era or wherever I was going and working with people, I noticed a trend of, like, different software that I was, you know, learning, because these were the group of people I was working with. This is what they were using. And then I go to Staten Island and work with a couple of people over there, and everybody was using Logic. So, like, that was, like,
dude,
from Cubase to Digital Performer to Logic, back and forth, and then Logic got bought by Apple. So, you know, everything changed.
All over.
So it was transitional stages in my life for the good, because I was learning different software and being, you know, open to working on different projects, because I was, you know, aware of how to do the arrangements and import the files and do the editing, and I was pretty much versatile. So my expertise was very broad and open for whoever. Hey, I need a song. I need somebody to help with me on this song and this arrangement. You know, Logic. Yeah, drive down there, work on it, bang it out. And then doing that a lot, everybody kept referring me, hey, I need a keyboard player, I need to do this remix, and then, hey, call Ziggy. And that's how it happened. And that's how I learned a lot of the software.
That's so cool that you have such a broad spectrum for the foundation of two things that I wanted to mention. You mentioned DAW, D-A-W, Digital Audio Workstation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a broad platform. You know all these different iterations of basically the same concept.
Correct.
But what is the one thing that they have in common? It's the code. It's the language of the code, right?
Yeah, it's the code,
and
the language.
And you had the foresight to recognize that way ahead of time.
Yes. And, you know, it's a little challenging sometimes, because then, you know, it gets to a point where there's so many software that you're working with, and then you're trying to, like, do something, but then you remember this is how you do it in this language or this program.
This platform.
But then when you try to do the same shortcut here, it's like, oh, man, wait a minute.
It jams you
up. I need to undo that, because that's...
Right.
So you could, it could get a little crazy,
it
especially
does.
When you're working on so many... I always say there's one axe that you should always have under your belt that you're good at no matter what happens.
Right.
It's like, hey, my go-to axe is this program. This is what you need to get done. Boom. I can do it real quick. Hit. And that's it. You do it.
Now, you and I are studying Ableton
to
implement it into the Babyface show.
Yes.
So.
And that's what, you know, like you mentioned, like Ableton, they're pushing, you know,
they
the
really
envelope
are.
And they're making things more for people that are more creative.
One of the things I really like about Ziggy, he's a team player. Back in Nashville, when Ziggy, Richie Pena, and myself had a production team, we all knew the importance of playing our role and then coming together as a team to make it even stronger. And we did just that. Every piece of music we wrote, composed, and produced together was super tight because we each focused on our area of expertise. Now, that being said, Ziggy has many areas of expertise, which include producing, composing, and DJing. And I love that blend in particular. The DJing keeps him young and hip and on the cutting edge. The composition, he understands arranging and music theory. And then the producing, he can run all over the place in different genres and put it all together to make it sound beautiful. On top of all that, he has a keen sense for the stock market and all things financial. So when I need advice, I go to him, and you'll see he shared a little bit of that with us in this episode. Let's take it away with Ziggy Diaz, also known as Ziggy Beats on Instagram and Facebook. Check it out.
Making music is easy. Making money in music is not. Join Nomad as he talks about the ups, downs, and turnarounds of the music biz.
Core of this particular episode, based on you, is, ladies and gentlemen, everything we just discussed has been informing Ziggy's plans now, which are really cool. So please tell us about what you're studying and your new endeavors.
There's a couple of things that I'm noticing trend-wise that, you know, they say that there's going to be a few big-paying jobs in the future, and this is going to be the trend. And one of them is pretty much artificial intelligence, machine learning, data science, pretty much collecting data, analyzing it to get statistical reports, to get predictive forecasting, to pretty much get patterns. And the way to do that, they're using artificial intelligence, they're using deep learning. You can look it up on Google. Amazon is doing it. You could tell artificial intelligence is happening every time you go to Google and you're starting to type certain things. You look at the browser, you're like, oh, it just finished it. This is what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. You know what's that? That's artificial intelligence. That's computers recognizing the kind of the patterns of what you type, what you look for every single day. And they nailed it down. They have a profile on you. And that's the future. Wow. Predicting what you want to buy, what you're looking for, where you're going to be at in the future at a certain spot. And if you are there, what you're capable of getting, and it goes on.
So is this the embryo stage of robots, basically?
And that's right? And that's another thing. It's pretty much augmented reality. It's having robots helping you.
Right.
So Google now has this thing where, if you need to set an appointment, you can look this up on YouTube. They have this computer, this robot, where you tell it, I need a haircut tomorrow at 8 o'clock, schedule that for me. The computer will call the barbershop or the salon if you're a woman and speak to a person and schedule an appointment for you, and you don't have to do anything. And you hear the person talking to the robot, and you hear the robot talking, and it sounds so human, it's not even funny. I suggest you look it up on Google, on YouTube, and look it up. And you're gonna see it for yourself. They did this presentation not too long ago, and it blew my mind how artificial intelligence is getting better by the day. So knowing that, I was like, you know what? If the future is heading towards this way, and there's gonna be a lot of jobs that are gonna be eliminated because everything is gonna be automated, I need to be part of that trend. So I am studying and learning data science. Mm. I'm learning how to train the machine to pick up patterns, learning language, Python, different languages to excel myself. And I'm not saying I'm the best, but I'm doing it every day a little bit at a time. And I'm doing the, what they call the compound effect, which Michael and I were talking about when we were getting some coffee at Panera. And every time I have that time, I designate this time to learn data science, which is either learning coding, learning a program, just messing around with it, reading books, educating myself, because I feel like that's going to be the trend of the future, and that's going to probably be the most paying jobs in the future in regards to as a career and supplemental income. I think that's going to be something that I want to pursue. to help me out. Another thing I'm also doing is, you know, as a career musician, sometimes the most thing we have is time.
That's right.
Always have time, because sometimes you have some downtime.
Downtime
where
no gigs,
there's no gigs, nothing going on. And you're like, man, what should I do? Should I go drive Uber? Should I do this just to get something? I decided that to liberate myself from all that stuff, I decided I am going to learn what the people at Wall Street do, and it's trade.
Mm.
So I went and educated myself for like the last couple of years, been reading books on trading. And this is something anyone could do. You just first have to educate yourself, read. I'm going to tell you, this is not easy. But once you get a grasp on it and you practice, because like the way you practice your scales and your chords and listening to different genres and training your ear, you can do the same thing practicing and trading without risking any money. Once you have consistency, because that's the word that Nomad brought up, once you have consistency.
That's my word for 2018, baby.
You have consistency and you've been making money paper trading or whatever, you know, because you need some hours accumulated and feel confident. Once you're good at that and you see that you're making money paper trading, then you could go in with real money and do the same strategy you were doing, and it's gonna work.
Okay, for those of us who don't know, what does paper trading mean? Obviously, it's
paper
not
trading
real money,
is not real money, but you use a platform to trade. It's the same thing. The only thing is that you have digital fake money.
Okay.
But you use the same to trade like if you had real money. That's the only difference. And you'll practice. I've been trading right now Forex, which is currency market.
What is it called?
Forex, which is a currency market. If you're not aware of Bitcoin and the digital currency, crypto.
The cryptocurrency.
That's the future.
It is.
That's the future.
So that's confirmed.
It's the same thing like when the internet came in. You remember the time of the internet when it was AOL and it was the modem,
right?
And Netscape and all that.
Yeah, you had what did they call that? The modem. You
the
had
modem
to connect,
on the
just
computer.
Made all those
noises.
Yeah,
through the telephone.
Right.
That was the internet in the early stages. Look in the
that's
future now. Look where the
now.
Internet's now. So look at cryptocurrency, where it's at right now. 20, 30 years from now, you're going to see what cryptocurrency is going to be. That's the new trends that are happening. Innovation, things are just changing. The things are being broken, the things that are stagnant, the things that haven't been working. Technology, you know, being creative, doing things better. That's all happening right now. And the trends are the cryptocurrency, data mining.
And right.
If you want to be independent and have free time to do whatever and make some money and be your own boss, trading is the thing that I'm doing now, and it's working out great.
Okay, a couple things I want to ask. First of all, we've established that, again, my word for the year, my key word is consistency. I've been studying the compound effect, which is basically the theory of taking daily habits, turning them into a ritualistic, habitual pattern.
Correct.
That align with your core values.
Yep.
And to achieve your goals. So,
yes.
In other words, if you want to be a songwriter, if you give a certain amount of time to songwriting every day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, half hour, whatever it is, whatever you can squeeze in. But if you do it every day. It compounds itself and it grows exponentially and it will bring into fruition your desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like that, just like saying that for a day trader or, you know, trading. You're doing the same thing. So you're exercising this theory, this consistency compound effect theory. I love that.
Yes.
So we're so aligned on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're branching out into two different areas. So first of all, I want to say to all my career musicians out there, I always thought I'll never do anything but music. I truthfully, that's it. I'm cut out for music. The older I get, the more wise I become, the more knowledgeable I become. I realize, you know what? It's okay to do music and something else, because now you're just broadening your palette.
Mm-hmm.
You're expanding your horizons. So you decided you're going to learn data science, artificial intelligence, all those things, and also learn how to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely going to do some due diligence and go study those subjects, especially the trading. So don't be surprised. I'm going to be picking your brain the time.
You could call me. I'll give you some tips.
Thank you. So that's what I want to ask.
First thing is,
where do we start?
First thing where you want to start is on your spare time, watch CNBC or Bloomberg channel and just kind of get familiar with the lingo. Get familiar with what was just the financial chatter of that whole world, because that's how I started. I just like would watch the news and watch that channel just to get an idea.
So we're developing vernacular.
Yeah, vernacular. So yeah, so
the vernacular of the financial
trading.
Yeah,
just get the lingo. You just gotta it's like kind of like hanging out in Wall Street. You're just not physically there, but you're just kind of like getting the seeing who's who, what they're talking about, and that's how I first started. I was like, you know what? I was like, I need to get myself away from like working this 9-to-5 job, showing up always here. And I'm not saying that's not bad, but if you're a creative, you got this urge and this itch. It's like, man, I can't be behind this computer all day.
Well,
I can't
not be in for this somebody else.
Yeah, and I can't be in this cubicle here all day. And trading is the only thing of all the things I researched that could give you that freedom and that you are your own boss too, and that you can make money. But it comes with a risk. But if you know what you're doing, and the key word is consistency, you could have a good lifestyle. The stock market, the financial markets, the currency market, it's like a pool full of sharks. They're all swimming to get you. And you have to have a personality and a character. It's like, I'm coming in here and I'm biting and I'm gonna get bit, but I'm biting back. You go home, you put a bandage and you grab somebody else's foot and you bite it back. But you have to have knowledge and educate yourself. So when you go there, you know, like when you're fighting the fighting championships, those girls, the MMA, what is it?
Yeah.
They're training.
Oh, they're training.
Oh, they're training.
Yeah, yeah.
They know this is a big event. And when they go there, they got their game face.
And they know they're going to get some scratches.
And they're going to get hit. But, you know, they're ready. You have to prepare yourself and educate yourself and get ready. And then you could get books. You can look at YouTube videos on your downtime.
Any one particular resource that stands out to you?
Or well, you know
raw,
what?
Just go for it.
I could tell you this. If you want to have opportunity 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, currencies is great. It's not like the stock market that, you know, opens from 9:30 and closes at 4:15, depending where you're at. Currencies, when they open on Sunday, they trade 24 hours all day. So if you want to make a little buck, you know, you travel somewhere, you know, you're up, you just did a rehearsal or did a show, you get back to your hotel room and say, man, I'm gonna look what the euro is doing and see what's happening. Is there an opportunity there? And it's like, you know what? This looks good. This pattern I study looks great. I'm going to place a short, put my risk, and go to bed. You wake up. Wow. I made $150.
Nomad here with the Career Musician Podcast. Thank you for listening. I wanted to tell you about #AskNomad to ask me any music-related questions, and I will respond usually within 24 to 48 hours. Again, that's #AskNomad. Ask me anything you'd like about the music biz, about your instrument, about practicing, about music theory, anything at all that has to do with music, and I will answer your questions, share, repost, and put it out there for all of the Career Musician Podcast family to see and hear. Thank you so much for listening. This is Nomad, and remember to use #AskNomad.
You got your game plan, you put your stop, just in case it goes against you, you're out. If it doesn't go against you and it goes in the direction you're thinking it's going to go because you study and you learn the pattern and you put your target, you just don't leave it open. Oh, I'm just going to short it and just leave it open. No.
So a stop prevents it from sinking you further than where you want to go.
It's like your risk.
And a target caps you from your ceiling, for your ceiling.
The target is where it's going to take you out.
Okay.
And when it hits your target, and you wake up in the morning, you look, oh, wow, I made $150 in your sleep.
And like you said to me at breakfast, you could literally text your wife, hey, babe, you can hit Trader Joe's. we got 150 fresh ones in the account.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you do that with consistency.
Woo!
You do that consistent.
Dude, you're preaching
with small
right now.
Money. And you're good. And
that
you can see yourself.
Up.
And you, when you see yourself, it's like, man, I'm good. And then you raise up the bar. You're like, you know what? I'm going to raise the amount bigger. And that's how the big traders live off of that. And one, it gives you freedom. Mm. Wow. You know how much hours you have to make to get 150 a day?
Yeah. I mean, some people will work a full 8-hour day. Some people will work 2 days to make that.
To make that. And you probably did that overnight. Sometimes you could do that in an hour. Sometimes you could do that in 30 minutes. Sometimes there's stuff in currencies where a news breaks out, an interest rate, an event is coming. And, you know, everybody's, you know, waiting on the sides.
Anticipating,
and then when the report comes out, everybody piles in. So there's many ways to, like, trade the market. It all has to do with your personality. If you're long-term, you know, it's like, I like going in and I like going out.
That's you?
That's me.
Okay.
But also, I like swing trading. I like, you know.
What's that?
You ride, you get in a position and you ride it for a couple of days. And then you get out. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. It's not too long. But then there's long term where you could just get in, like, let's say the crypto. If you would have bought Bitcoin when it was $500, you would have been laughing in the bank when, you know, when it hit all the way, what, 20,000?
What is it now?
Well, it came down now. It's like 7,000 or whatever around there. But that's long term. That's like super compounding.
So explain to me. So suppose I want to get into cryptocurrency right now. I do my research. I study. I'm ready to make a trade. How do I do that? What do you do?
Well, with crypto is a little more, it's a little different.
More advanced.
Crypto right now is kind of in that stage where it's like so new. There's like no like rules and laws.
Okay.
You know.
A little dangerous.
It's a little risky. More riskier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't recommend crypto.
Okay.
Right now. So things kind of like finalize and because not even the big boys are in it yet.
Okay, so let me paraphrase that. So I do my research, I study, I do my paper trading. I talk to a resource like you, let's say for 12 months, I'm consistently studying. I wanted to use a real life reference. I have an Ameritrade account. Mm-hmm. I had Scottrade years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out Ameritrade bought Scottrade.
Yes.
So now I have an Ameritrade account. I've been itching to use it, but I haven't because I haven't been doing my due diligence. Let's say fast forward 12 months from now. I do my diligence. I've been paper trading for a little bit. I'm ready. I find out what I want to trade in. I like tech. You know, I love anything that has to do with, like, of course, Apple products. Now people say that you should also trade in products that you like and believe in, right?
Yes.
So maybe I have some tech, I have some currency, and maybe I have another commodity like what? What would, you know...
Could be gold, could be crude oil,
something
could be
like that. All right, I got my Ameritrade account. I'm ready to go. What do I do first?
The first thing you need to know is that in order for you to trade stocks, you at least have to have at least $20,000 in an account. If you don't, if you have less than $20,000 in the account, it could be 25, I'm not too sure, you are going to get hit with the 3-day rule, meaning that you can come in and out. Out of a position right away.
Okay.
Because you have less than what's required for you to be freely trading in and out with no limits. And they do that for people that are starting out. They don't lose their money and go broke and blow up their account. So there's like a three-day rule on that. So I always tell my friends, like, if you don't have the 20,000 to play, you know, and have like leverage, then the best thing to do is to go in currencies because there is leverage there, but there's no rule for you, a limit on how many times you could trade a week. If you have $500, then $500 is all you have. That's what you're going to trade with.
And that could go blink of an eye.
And that could go in a blink of an eye, and that also could grow in a blink of an eye too.
Okay, so let's take that. Look, we're talking about the average career musician who doesn't have 20 G's stacked, but they want to get involved. So I have 500. I put it in my account. Maybe in another month I can get it up to 1,000. Where do I start?
Well, you first open up an account with a place that could, let's say, currencies, where you could trade currencies. The benefits of trading currencies is that you have a market that's trading 24 hours a day,
right?
Roughly like 6 days a week. So you can wake up in the morning, you could have, like today we have downtime. Well, today's Saturday, so everything, right, you know, the market's closed. But if it was like Thursday and we were like here today, we could be trading the markets right now.
Right.
The next thing you need to do is to have a strategy that works and that is consistent making money. That every time you see that pattern or strategy sets up in whatever you're trading, let's say currencies, you follow that signal and place the trade.
You repeat that.
Yes. And there's a term called backtesting where you backtest that pattern, and that's where you do, that's where paper trade comes in, because that's where you practice with it.
So this is where the data study comes into play.
Yeah, well,
because you're studying data.
Yeah, you're studying data and you're using past performance. Well, they say that past performance is not indicative of the future, but you're taking past performance of what has happened, you're analyzing it, and you're looking at the charts, and you're looking at what just happened. He's like, okay, every time this thing happens, this price goes up. So is there a way that every time I see this happening, I just place the trade, betting that it's going to go up? And let me see how many times I could do that in a week, in a month, 6 months, and see if this is always happening. That's when you come with statistics. Okay, then you say, like, all right, this is always positive. Once you practice doing that, then you build yourself confidence. When you see that pattern, you automatically, unconsciously, just do it. And then you set your risk. So when you see that pattern, you're not nervous to be placing the trade, because in the past, it's made you money, paper trading.
So you have some confidence.
But you have to build your confidence, and you have to believe in your strategy. So that's why, before you even open an account and just start placing bets, long or short, don't do that. Educate yourself first. Get a broker that has paper trade, and they give you $100,000 paper trading money. And read books, look at strategies, and then backtest it. See what works out that you could make money paper trading. So this is an example. There's moving averages, simple moving averages. A lot of traders. And this is just pretty simple. They use the 20 going over the 50. It's like a crossover, the moving average. Every time the 20 crosses over the 50, they buy it. Or, to keep it more simple, every time prices goes above the simple moving average of 50, they just buy it. And every time it goes under 50, they just sell it. They just get out. And that's one guy that I know that does that, and he's just he loves that strategy because it's simple.
And he's sticking to that.
And that's all he does. He's like, Zig,
really?
I know everybody's doing all this crazy stuff. I just buy it when it's above the 50, and that's it. And place my stop under a day or another, a lower candle, and that's it. And when it goes under it, I get out. And that's all he does.
That's brilliant.
And he makes money.
That's brilliant.
And that's a simple strategy as a career musician.
Yes.
If you are in a stage in your life where it's like, man, I'm just trying to hustle with money and trying to get these gigs and things are not lining up and, you know, the bills are coming up, one thing you could do is educate yourself on trading currency. Once you're good at currencies, then you could jump up with the market and get into the stocks, the Facebooks, the Googles, Amazon, and work, you know, wet your ears behind that. But to keep it super simple, start out with currencies, learn about currencies, look at YouTube videos. I did a lot of that when I started. Looked at the financial news, which is CNBC, Bloomberg. Just educate yourself with that. And look at a currency that you might think that you might like. Like the euro is pretty huge. It trades. It's a lot of volume. Euro USD. And just educate yourself on that. Get a broker. Put $500 in there. There's a lot that you can pick from.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be a lot. And if they have the paper trading option, even better, because that's what you want to use.
So I'm going to find out if my Ameritrade little deal has the paper trading.
Yeah, and then just practice. And just read, book, look at YouTube, type in trading strategies.
I love it.
And a guy will be like, hey, you know, if you do this and this, this is profitable. And then you try it. Paper trading, you got nothing to lose. You just have to just be, like, consistent and do the compound effect. All those little trials and error, you'll be like, you know what, that sucked. This didn't work out.
Let me
try this other one. And be like, oh, this worked out. And it worked out again. I can't believe it. And then it worked out again.
People, if you're listening to this, this is life-changing information. Yeah. Ziggy, it's incredible. Thank you for sharing. Like, I love the fact that you're doing this. And now you're actually, like you were sharing with me this morning, you're creating income for your family. That's
correct.
Brilliant. Supplemental, because yes. You're also out here on the road working with us, and you're doing a bunch of other things. Listen, the career musician, we have nothing but time, right?
Yes. So, you got time. Time you is know, on your time.
Downtime. It's always like we say in the business, hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
So if you're at a venue waiting for sound check, you have downtime. If you're at the airport waiting for a plane, you have downtime. On a plane, you have downtime. On a bus, you have downtime.
I got a friend that every time he gets, before he gets on a plane, it's like a thing. I don't know if it's like a gambling thing or whatever. Yeah. He's like, you know what? Right before he goes on a plane, he's like, I know this is going to go down. He hits short. And I think his thing is when he lands to see what happens. Because when you're on a plane, you don't have access. Yeah, you don't have access unless
you're connected on the Wi-Fi, which is spotty.
But he doesn't want to do it.
There you go. He wants to.
It's like he's just looking. He's like, this is going to go down.
Mystery.
And then he was like, and he hits it, and then he just closes. It's like, all right, when I land, I'm going to see what happens. But it's like that. It's like a thrill.
That's
cool. And it's low. He's not placing big bets or whatever. He's like shows lands and he'd be like, oh man, I lost 50 grand. No, it's like something, but you know, he can make 25, right? He can make 50, and that's like, you know, drink money right there, whatever. It could be anything.
Good point.
Yeah, so it's just like, and then when he lands, he's like, yeah.
Beer's on me. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Zig, bro, I love you, man.
Oh, you too, man.
This is awesome, bro.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, shoot, you already appeared in a couple episodes. You'll keep on reappearing.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
Thank you so much, brother.
You got it, man.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Career Musician Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed Ziggy's perspective on the biz and all things music and otherwise. I know I sure have. Thank you so much, Ziggy, for being a guest. And don't forget, from rock and roll, R&B, jazz, flamenco, pop, country, Latin, everything you can think of, and in between, genre-wise, the career musician loves it all.
Thank you for tuning in to The Career Musician. Please click the subscribe button and share The Career Musician Podcast on your social media feeds.
I'm just a nomad, nowhere man, writing the songs in this one-man band. A nomad.
Nomad here, host and creator of the Career Musician Podcast, wanting to tell you all about PantheonPodcast.com Network. I am a part of this collective that is solely music-based podcasts. And guess what? It is the only one of its kind on the globe so far. It is a collective of an independent network of podcasts all based on music, which dig into the culture, technology, history, and everything else you can imagine that has to do with music. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to check us out at PantheonPodcasts.com.
Hey, it's Marcus in the Darkest.
And Ray Koob here.
The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll is a podcast for the lover of rock and roll.
Like many of the other Pantheon podcasts, we take a unique look at the entire rock and roll timeline in a non-traditional fashion.
We look at events, we look at movements, moments, albums, tragedy, celebrations, and more.
These are what make rock and roll rock and roll. And it's why the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll is a juggernaut waiting for exploration and discussion.
Drummers! So you're watching an amazing drummer on YouTube, and they're playing something so crazy, you just can't figure it out. If only you can tap this drummer on the shoulder and say, hey, can you slow it down and break it down for me, man? PossibleChops.com does exactly that. They've asked some of the top-of-the-line drummers to play in short, digestible phrases some of their craziest chops. Then they slow it down and transcribe it so you can actually learn what the heck they're doing. They're making chops possible. Now, PossibleChops.com is an online drum lesson website that makes it easy to add to your drumming vocabulary from some of the baddest professional drummers. And when I say baddest, I mean the dopest, illest, most ridiculousest drummers you ever heard. Imagine getting a breakdown from drummers who played with the likes of Usher, Earth, Wind & Fire, Chick Corea, Babyface, Sheryl Crow, Tony Braxton, and the list goes on. The PossibleChops.com community is designed to allow drummers to share ideas and help you on your path to becoming a pro and getting gigs. That's right, folks, actually getting real gigs. If you're serious about drumming, do yourself a favor and visit PossibleChops.com. Join today and basic membership is free. However, if you decide to upgrade to a pro membership, use the promo code NOMAD to get your first free month. That's right, folks. Use coupon code NOMAD and you get the whole first month absolutely free. Adding new chops are now made possible for drummers on PossibleChops.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.